Case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the third case, Insurance Company of the West versus the McHenry County et al. Mr. Horseman?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jim Horseman. I represent Insurance Company of the West, the appellant. When Insurance Company of the West filed this insurance coverage declaratory action, the county's self-insured retention had not been exhausted. The insurance company hadn't spent any money on indemnity, and the entire coverage issue was limited to the eight corners of the document. All we had was the underlying complaint and the policy. After this appeal was filed, Insurance Company of the West spent its indemnity limits and settled all the damages claims in the underlying case. So at this point, none of the original conditions that were present when the action was filed are still before us. That is, now the self-insured retention is completely exhausted. Secondly, Insurance Company of the West indemnity limits are completely exhausted, them having spent $5 million. And the coverage question now has expanded beyond the eight corners of the document. Now we have a much broader question as to what was settled, for what reason, things like that. So we have a totally different case now that the settlement has happened. All of the original issues are they're moot. No one cares about the disposition of those earlier issues in the case. So we've moved to dismiss it.
I'm sorry, but I feel like I just got off the bus here. This has been settled? Underlying lawsuit?
The underlying lawsuit has been settled. A remaining question exists as to whether Insurance Company of the West or the county
will pay for it. When was it
settled? It was settled, I believe it's January 7th, 2003. That's addressed in the motion to dismiss.
There was another lawsuit that was filed by the insurance company that Judge Canelli also dismissed and just came up to us recently in a motion.
Yes.
But that didn't talk about the whole case being settled, did it?
Judge Canelli did not address that in his order, but it was before him. I don't know why he didn't address that. But in the motions before Judge Canelli in the second action, he was aware that the case had been settled. It just isn't mentioned in that recently filed order of his.
What relief are you seeking?
The relief I'm seeking today is to dismiss this appeal without costs, and I'm also seeking that the court deny the county's motion for sanctions.
That's the issue before us, whether or not this appeal is frivolous, right?
Yes. Yes. The issues here have become moot because Insurance Company of the West did what the county wanted it to do. It took all of its indemnity limits, settled the underlying case. So the question is, when this appeal was filed, was it frivolous? I don't want to belabor the point. Most of these, all these points are raised in the appellate briefs here, but I'll review quickly what the issues were here. We believe that Judge Canelli had misconstrued the insurance policy here. If you look at the order of Judge Canelli, he looked at the policy as having a traditional duty to defend, traditional duty to indemnify. Our position was that this was a kind of a hybrid policy under which Insurance Company of the West had to indemnify for defense expense. And Judge Canelli didn't recognize that distinction. So that was one of the bases of our appeal. It makes a big difference because once the self-insured retention is exhausted, which it has now, Insurance Company of the West is immediately required to begin indemnifying for defense expense. Accepting Insurance Company of the West view, we definitely have a ripe controversy as soon as the FAR is exhausted. The other problem we had with Judge Canelli's ruling was he really didn't exercise his discretion. He was looking at the state law cases that says a duty to indemnify is not ripe until there's a settlement or a judgment, and overlooked the fact that we had an indemnification obligation for defense expense. Judge Canelli didn't reach the merit of Insurance Company of the West's coverage position, but he made some comments. He didn't completely reject Insurance Company of the West's coverage position. He said, looking at the record, it is arguable that the county was seeking a defense at one point, but it doesn't look like the county is doing that anymore. And looking at whether the inverse condemnation exclusion applied, Judge Cannelli said, well, there's some of that in this count. He said, I see due process and I see inverse condemnation. He didn't rule on the merits, but he noted that at least our positions were arguable. In dismissing the second declaratory judgment action that we've recently filed before the court, the county had filed another sanctions motion against Insurance Company of the West. Judge Cannelli, who knows the case best, denied that motion recently. Again, the relief we're seeking is nobody really cares about the merits of this appeal anymore. We'd like to have it dismissed. We seek that without costs being imposed against ICW because it's moot. We want to dismiss it not because we've lost faith in the issues, it's simply because the settlement has rendered the issues moot. And secondly, we seek to have the court deny the county's motion for sanctions. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Horstman. Ms. Shepley?
Reagan Shepley on behalf of the county. May it please the court. Mr. Horstman said that nobody cares about the disposition
Can
of this case.
Can you talk louder, please?
I'm sorry. Mr. Horstman stated that nobody cares about the disposition of this case, but in fact, the county cares. It cares very much. The county has incurred thousands of dollars in legal fees in connection with this coverage suit and, in fact, the other coverage suit, which you referenced earlier. Mr. Horstman represents that the decision in this case was wrong because it's a hybrid policy. There was a reimbursement of defense cost provision. That's a misrepresentation of the policy. This is an indemnification policy. The county had a $250,000 self-insured retention. ICW's policy indemnifies the county for ultimate net loss above its insured retention. There is no obligation to pay any defense costs above the self-insured retention after it has been exhausted until judgment or settlement. The policy is very clear on that. There's no obligation to indemnify any ultimate net loss, any loss that the county incurs for a covered claim until judgment or settlement. They had no present case or controversy when they filed this suit in May of 2002, or in March, excuse me. In fact, we wrote them and said, why are you doing this? We haven't asked you to defend the case. We have not exhausted our self-insured retention. But even after that fact, when we do exhaust the self-insured retention, the policy does not give us the right to contemporaneous reimbursement of defense costs. The only rights we have under the policy are to have to obtain indemnification or reimbursement for losses that we incur that are covered from covered claims that are above the self-insured retention, that the self-insured retention has been exhausted. We have a right to be reimbursed for defense costs in those kind of claims if the self-insured retention is exhausted, the case has been settled or resolved by judgment, and the amount of the settlement or the judgment did not exhaust the policy limits, and there's something left to reimburse for defense costs. At the time this case was filed, none of that existed. And that is why we moved to dismiss, because the case was not ripe. The sole basis for their coverage denial was condemnation exclusion. It excluded all claims arising out of inverse condemnation eminent domain. There's only one count in the complaint at that time that asked for money damages. It was count 3 of the third amended complaint index. It was a substantive due process case. It did not have the allegations of inverse condemnation, takings or anything, total loss of economic value, etc. That count, as what's described in the appellate brief, was a claim thrown into the case, otherwise a zoning variety, garden zoning variety case, was that the county didn't enact its zoning ordinance properly, and by making the petitioner go through the process of zoning, when we didn't have a valid ordinance, in fact, we didn't have an ordinance at all, we denied them substantive due process. Of note, INDEC, which was a defendant in this coverage case, joined in the county's brief They didn't dispute the county's characterization of the complaint at that time, that it wasn't a takings case. The district court said that there were some allegations of denial of property, which it could be proved at trial that a takings had occurred, and there was no way to determine the application of the exclusion until the trial had concluded in this matter. And he also dismissed the duty to defend count of this complaint, finding that the policy absolutely does not impose a duty to defend. It's not your classic primary public entity where we have the right and the duty to defend you and to indemnify you. ICW didn't have to do anything until this case was settled or resolved, but instead they filed this suit seeking to have a declaration that they had no duty to defend when we never asked them to defend the case to begin with. So the county does have an interest in this case. We've incurred several tens of thousands of dollars in this suit and the underlying suit.
Well, are you seeking the sanctions here for the appeal?
Yes.
And that's where all this money is coming from, not for the litigation in the district court?
Just the sanctions for defending this first suit and the appeal.
What, defending the first suit in the district court or having to defend the appeal?
If it's possible, we would like to recover for defending in the district court. If that's not possible, then
know?
It would be...
How can we award?
It would be in the appeal.
How can we award sanctions for that? How do we know what went on in the district court? Isn't that the district court's call to determine whether there was an arguable basis for the suit to begin with?
Yes. And we did not. We did send a letter in the beginning of the suit asking that they withdraw the claim because it wasn't ripe. However, we didn't take the posture at before the district court that it was sanctionable.
So all you can ask for it now is sanctions for this appeal, right?
For this appeal, yes. If it's not possible under other relief warranted because of the
time. But when you're talking tens of thousands of dollars, that's not for this appeal.
Probably $20,000, over $20,000 in conjunction with this appeal, I believe, was put together. I could be mistaken, and I would file a fee petition with the backup documentation. Because at one point the billing on the files, both this suit and the second coverage suit, which were our combined files, so if I'm mistaken, I would correct that. But we feel that sanctions are clearly warranted in this case because there's no language in the policy at all which imposed these duties that they sought to have litigated. And the case law was very clear regarding the ripeness of determination of a duty to indemnify where the underlying case hasn't been settled and where the basis for denying coverage is an insured conduct-based exclusion like the one here. And that being the case, once the case was dismissed by the district court, there is no appealable issue which was non-frivolous that they could advance here. The arguments that Mr. Horstman put forward, that Judge Connelly misconstrued the policy and overlooked its obligation to reimburse defense costs once the self-insured retention had been exhausted, are themselves frivolous. The policy language is very clear. And that's one of the frustrations of this case is that the county is put in the position of arguing against coverage in this policy. We didn't sue. We didn't ask to be here. We didn't ask for a defense. And we didn't ask for immediate reimbursement of defense costs after we exhausted our self-insured retention. They came in and made those claims and said, these are what our policy says. And in fact, if we had had that right, we would have asserted it. We would have sought reimbursement for the underlying case. It's been quite expensive. But we didn't because the policy language doesn't allow for that. And so there's no basis in the policy, nor is there any basis in any case law, for the insurance company to, in the first instance, bring us into court, but certainly to continue on with this position on appeal. And consequently, we ask the court to award us our costs and our fees in prosecuting this appeal, or defending this appeal, excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shipley. Mr. Larson?
I won't belabor this. Obviously, the county disagrees with ICW. There's a bona fide dispute here. When counsel said that the county never asked ICW to defend, I ask you to look at Judge Cannelli's order. He found that there was evidence that, in fact, the county had asked. Counsel says that there's no language in the policy to support ICW's position. It's argument again, but I would direct the court specifically to page 11 of our brief. It's paragraph B of the defense and settlement clause that reads, if a settlement or judgment against the insured plus defense costs exceeds the self-insured retention, the company shall pay the amount in excess of the retention. In this case, the county had spent over $250,000 on defense costs alone. They exceeded the SIR in defense costs alone. That put ICW on the line to pay the first dollar after the $250,000. In this case, because the defense costs were so large, that first dollar, the above the $250,000 SIR, happened to be a defense cost dollar. And they all were until ICW paid its indemnity limit. The only other thing I would mention is that, as I noted at the outset, when ICW filed the case originally, the county's SIR had not been exhausted. So there was a question as to the ripeness of the controversy, since ICW doesn't have an obligation until the SIR is exhausted. ICW's argument, based on several decisions of this court, was that although the SIR wasn't exhausted yet, everyone agreed that it would soon be exhausted, and we relied on the probabilistic injury or harm concept that this court has talked about in several decisions in arguing that there was a ripe controversy at that point. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Orson. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will